happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, welcoming to my bedroom.
Ann Northrup. Well, we had an emergency last week that put us together, and you were so happy about us being side by side, as were we, because the rhythm is a little better, that we decided to do it again, especially since this may be the last show we do at home.
And my last show
with
this,
you.
And my last show this year. Yes, Maren Johns will be coming in for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I will be still at home for that. But after the first of the year, we think we will be back in the Manhattan Neighborhood Network Fingers studios crossed. At our anchor desk for the first time in what, almost 4 years? 3 years, something like that.
Since March of 2020.
Is that when it happened? So 3.5 years. And then, you know, they closed the studio for COVID, and then they moved and built a whole new studio. So that's where we are hoping to be in a few weeks.
Anyway.
Meanwhile, we're going to do the show today.
Yes. And we start off with some good news from the Supreme Court. Can you believe it? They refused to take up a challenge to bans on anti-LGBTQ conversion therapy.
Unbelievably smart. So we'll give you the details of that. And unfortunately, we will briefly revisit the Republican presidential debate from last week, which was mostly a trans bashing fest by Haley and DeSantis and Ramaswamy.
Indiana Republican congressman wants to give foster care agencies a federal right to place trans kids with anti-trans parents.
Oh, boy. And we'll tell you more about how and why to stop the coup that the GOP plans for 2025 if they win the elections next year.
George Santos is making crime pay.
I like that headline. Brittany Griner is in a big production deal with Disney and ESPN.
As a follow-up on this story, the Florida high school was fined and many staff reassigned for letting a trans girl play trans girls volleyball.
Russia, having nothing better to do, is now censoring My Little Pony.
But the Polish right-wing government was mostly displaced by centrists.
Yes, hallelujah. And a young gay TV star is coming to Broadway.
Who could it be? Well,
stay tuned, we'll tell you.
So, the Supreme Court.
Well, the Supreme Court, as you know, is full of right wingers. So we're very suspicious that anything related to us that goes there is going to really get us in trouble. But you know that states in the last few years have been passing bans on medical professionals doing conversion therapy of LGBTQ people. And the right wing is very upset about this and says it's a free speech right. How dare you shut down medical professionals? And the states say, hey, it is our job to regulate the medical profession and make sure that medical professionals are doing good work. And this is bad work that is harmful and not approved by any professional society. And so we're going to ban it as bad work. So
for minors in almost all cases in the United States.
Yes, although some goes beyond that. So the right wing went to the Supreme Court and said, you must overturn these bans on conversion therapy. This is a violation of these professionals' right to practice and free speech. And you have to take this case and overturn the bans. And the Supreme Court, to our utter shock and amazement this week, said, no, we're not taking that case. We are going to let the lower court decision stand. We are allowing states to ban conversion therapy as bad medicine.
And again, this was just not taking the case. This wasn't making a decision on the merits. Now, the lower court decision from the Ninth Circuit out there on the West Coast, they said, hey, you know, you professionals, you want to speak out against conversion therapy? You're still free to do so. You can even tell your patients you're for it. You can even refer them to religious counselors that do it. But you can't do it because that's against professional ethics.
You have medical licenses. And yes, religious quacks. I should probably apologize for that. Religious people who do this practice, who believe in conversion therapy, are still allowed to do conversion therapy. But licensed medical professionals have been banned from doing it in a lot of states, and the Supreme Court is not going to interfere with that.
Right. So the court left in place a law that bars these therapists from doing this with minors, said Justice Thomas, who was a dissenter on this, he said, a practice favored by some conservatives. So what?
I mean, exactly.
You know, conservatives want, you know, some of them want to burn us at the stake. You're going to allow that?
Thomas, Alito, and Brett Kavanaugh dissented on this decision, but Amy Coney Barrett was with us, and Gorsuch was with us, along with Roberts and Sotomayor and Kagan and Brown.
By the way, I had the word quacks in my notes too. So.
Okay. All right. Thomas almost lost his mind. He was so angry in his dissent.
And you know, very foolish in what he wrote. I mean, nobody wanted to associate themselves with his remarks. He's so off the deep end.
Right.
All right. By the way, in terms of courts, we got a break in New York. Our high court cleared the way for the state to redraw the congressional map that was drawn by a Republican judge before the 2020 elections. And now it's going to be probably easier to elect Democrats and maybe turn back the House. Very important decision.
Yes, they've been going back and forth in the courts in New York. You can redistrict. At the moment, the ball is in the Democrats' hands, and we'll see whether that'll allow us to recapture some seats we lost in the last election.
So in the pointless Republican debate that very few people watched, Nikki Haley.
I watched it.
I did. I watched the whole thing.
It's our job.
Vivek Ramaswamy and Mike DeSantis tried to really outdo each other in anti-trans bigotry, egged on by the moderator, Megyn Kelly, who touted the idea that using puberty blockers and surgeries can do trans people irreparable harm. You know, I mean, she was really nasty about it. And none of them were representing the issue properly. So they were really saying terrible things. Chris Christie, of all people, said, hey, this is parents' rights. You know, if this is what parents want for their children in consultation with the doctors, we're supposed to be the party that is for parents' rights.
Exactly. But the line of the night was, of course, from DeSantis, who said, when I was in Iraq, because he served, you know, there were all these guys wearing man dresses, and you couldn't tell if they had a bomb. Okay, Ron.
What about Catholic priests who go around in robes? I
mean, what about Jesus?
Yeah, right. Didn't he wear one?
He wore a man dress, according to Ron DeSantis.
God, he's such a monster. All right. Okay.
Mike Johnson.
Yes.
Who, to make an appropriate segue, says, I am like Moses.
Well, you know, first of all, we got a picture of him from a story about his inner circle, which is stacked with right-wing extremists. His mentors for 7 years have been Steve Scalise of Louisiana, David Duke without the baggage, and Jim Jordan of Ohio, David Duke with the baggage. Jordan called Johnson a solid Christian guy, though I am not sure if the Prince of Peace, who we're supposed to be celebrating later this month, would agree. Anyway, very close to Lee Stefanik, and in the Senate to senators such as Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Rick Scott of Florida, and Mike Lee of Utah.
The low IQ caucus.
Rabble rousers known as the Breakfast Club. This is the
low IQ.
Ooh. Anyway, but he's in danger, Mike Johnson, because of the feud over the defense bill. Because in the conference that happens with the Senate, they had to take out all these ridiculous anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion amendments. The Senate was never going to pass them. And some of you only need one Republican to raise a vote against him. Have another vote about that. and they're squawking that they're very unhappy.
Well, it's interesting because if they wanted to, the House Republicans could just refuse to pass any of these funding bills that don't include all the anti-LGBTQ stuff, and they are not willing to go quite that far. So they're backing down and allowing the deletion of things like no trans medical care, no abortion rights, no DEI education, no pride flags officially flown. Actually, I think that one stayed in. But their bluff is being called, and they are caving on passing funding bills, although they have final passage of no funding bills at this point, I think.
All right. Should we revisit our friend George Santos?
Oh, please.
Well, he's now making as much money, more money than he did as a congressman, which was $174,000 per annum. He does these cameo videos, and he's also trying to negotiate a plea deal to stay out of prison. But they're not putting on his trial for at least until September and maybe later.
Well, he may make a plea deal long before then. But his price for the cameos went from like $35 originally to $500 in about a week. You have to admire his entrepreneurship. He's making this money legally.
Shamelessness.
Well, he is also saying, and this is where he's really shameless, that he's toying with the idea of getting back into politics, and he expects to end up back in Congress. Now, the lawyers, the prosecutors are saying that perhaps there will be a provision in the plea deal that says you may not go anywhere near any political race. I don't care if it's for dog catcher for the rest of your life. We'll see whether that gets included.
Okay. Let's see.
Other political news?
Well, in Wisconsin,
yep.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed a bill banning gender-affirming care for minors. It was passed by the Republican legislature in October. Evers said it harms LGBTQ people and kids' mental health, emboldens anti-LGBTQ hate and violence, and threatens the safety and dignity of LGBTQ Wisconsinites. And he ought to know, because he probably needs constant police protection from people when he does this.
It's Wisconsin's a really tough state. He's done a fantastic job of vetoing a number of these bad bills in the face of a heavily, heavily Republican-dominated legislature.
So likely to be overridden if they have the opportunity.
Very possibly. And Tammy Baldwin looks like she's going to have a highly financed opponent for Senate.
A multimillionaire, Eric Hovde,
yeah,
who sought the nomination in 2012.
Her continuing wins are sort of magical. I would never have predicted that she could be as successful as she has been in getting reelected.
Now, they elected Ron Johnson as their senator.
Exactly.
But they ought to be able to beat somebody who, this guy, who has mostly lived in California in the District of Columbia.
She has beaten challengers before who you might have thought were strong. And clearly, Wisconsin likes her and likes what she's doing. So we're all in
and
for Tammy.
And who says this guy's going to win the nomination? They've also got that crazy sheriff, David Clark. So, you know, MAGA, and they could win a primary.
In back to the U.S. House, Representative Jim Banks of Indiana has introduced a bill to defund any agencies that won't place trans kids in anti-trans foster homes.
He calls it the Sensible Adoption for Every Home Act, or the SAFE Act, when of course it is the opposite. Cruelty, of course, is the point here. His proposed rule requires a foster care agency to place the minors with parents who... Oh, wait a minute. He's proposed... Oh, no, sorry.
Start again.
The reason he did this is because HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, has proposed a rule requiring foster care agencies to place LGBTQ minors with providers who parents who respect their identities.
I knew I was missing something, and it was my glasses.
Oh.
Now I can read my notes better, and now I don't look like such a ghost. Instead of eye makeup, glasses.
All right. In California, three anti-trans initiatives have been rolled into one to try to get on the 2024 ballot. The attorney general titled these Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth, because that's a Democratic attorney general who can do that. It needs 500,000 signatures. The deadline is put off till May. Equality California is launching one of those don't sign the petition thing. You know, don't just sign it. Okay, you're just going to get it on the ballot. No, don't sign it.
Well, you're the one who talks about signing petition ballots to petitions to get people on the ballot. No,
for
matter
some,
who they are.
No, not who, not anybody, but for, you know, as long as a candidate comes to, you know, is on the street and they're collecting signatures and they're not, you know, scum.
David Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I would sign the first one that I, you know, that comes along.
Don't sign these, and they will have paid signature gatherers, is my guess, because that's what they do historically, and they will distort what the ballot initiatives are actually about. So please be very careful in
and,
California.
You know, we lost a marriage referendum in California back in 08.
Yeah. Right. But in New York State, we applaud the efforts of our state Senator Brad Hoylman Siegel, and Senator Liz Krueger and three others who are asking New York State to be one that bars Trump from the ballot, the presidential ballot, because of the 14th Amendment that says anyone who has practiced in or supported an insurrection against the government is not allowed to run for office. This is still being litigated in Colorado and is being attempted elsewhere. No one has a lot of hope for it, but boy, it would be a great thing.
I mainly credit Brad Hoylman Siegel, our state senator. He's the one who insisted that we get a progressive high court in New York and really worked hard on that and made it happen.
I don't think they're going to keep Trump off the ballot with that argument unless and until he is convicted of aiding the insurrection. Right. So keep your eyes on that. And you know, shout out to Jack Smith for being smart enough to go to the Supreme Court to say, let's settle this question right now of whether or not he can be prosecuted.
We love him.
Yes, we do.
Tell us about the what happened at the library in Bucks. No, not the library, but at the Bucks County School Board meeting.
Well, we've been following various school issues in Pennsylvania because of recent elections for school board and attempts to ban books and all of that. Well, in Bucks County, they held a school board meeting to reverse anti-LGBTQ policies adopted by the conservative board. Well, the conservative board was replaced, and so the new, more progressive board is getting rid of the bad conservative policies. Show that picture again. Local residents showed up outside the school board meeting and tailgated while they waited, because it was so crowded inside. Tailgated while they waited for the new progressive board to rescind all the bad policies put in place by the bad board. It just is a wonderful little picture of community involvement.
Well, things didn't go so well for the Moms for Liberty co-founder Bridget Ziegler at two of her board meetings. There she is. You know, she's caught up in this sex scandal with her husband and with a third woman, a second woman, blah, blah, blah. We told you about that last week. So she went to, she's on the Disney board that oversees Disney, and she wouldn't show her face. She just kept behind a screen the whole time. This is the one that Governor DeSantis appointed her to, and he hasn't gotten rid of her there. He's asked her husband to resign as the head of the GOP in the state, but he won't. But this week, the Sarasota school board that she's on voted 4-3 to call on her to resign.
I thought it was 4-1, and she was the only one who voted
against
it. I'm sorry.
I meant 4-1. 4-1, and she, that's correct. And but the only way to get rid of somebody from a school board is for the governor to suspend her, and then the state Senate has to remove her. That could be interesting.
Well, if she's being outvoted 4-1, I don't know how much trouble she can cause as a single vote.
Wait a minute. It's mostly right-wing board, I think. I mean, you know, Sarasota, isn't it?
It is Sarasota, but they're voting for her to resign.
Yes, but they still have to count her vote.
And even if they get rid of her, they're still the conservative board, so...
All right.
I'm just not so worried about her. I would like her husband not to be the head of the Florida GOP, but I have no confidence that they would come up with anyone better. And we certainly don't want to. Well, he's accused of rape. Let's see what happens with that.
In Atlantic City, New Jersey, a private firm that was engaged to train police officers. It's called Street Cop Training. And
yes,
they're the fastest growing such agency in the country, paid with tax dollars. In their trainings, they mock LGBTQ people. They denigrate Black people. So the New Jersey Comptroller's Office said all the officers who were trained by these people need to be retrained.
Really unbelievable, shameful stuff. Shocking. Ended up, wasn't it on the front page of the New York Times? It was so bad. Incredible they could get away with that. So I'll take a little New Jersey detour to a slightly nicer story. There's a veterinarian, Dr. James Doherty, who has given $3 million to Rutgers University in New Jersey to fund a chair in LGBTQ plus health studies at the School of Public Health at Rutgers. For research, academic excellence, and community engagement. That is a very nice vote of confidence from Dr. Doherty.
Worried about what's happening in Missouri, we all should be. The Republican bills there would criminalize women who have abortions. And of course, if you make it homicide, that could be the death penalty. These states have GOP strangleholds and are going to run out of drag queens to persecute and turn to burning witches if people don't stop them. But two groups are trying to enshrine abortion rights, one moderately, one, you know, 24 weeks, which is not immoderate, but there you are.
Well, Missouri has become a very conservative place, and Claire McCaskill is not optimistic that we're going to stop the criminalization of abortion in Missouri.
Wow. Yeah. They always used to say, oh, we're not going after the women. You know, we're not talking about criminal penalties.
Except
that.
Trump
and
did.
Now they are.
You know, Trump
he did.
Put on the spot.
In his first campaign.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he put any thought into it. He was confronted by Chris
Matthews.
Thank you. And just off the top of his head said, yes, there should be punishment for the women.
And has to be some penalty.
it was just a nonsense answer.
Well, no, he was at, well, we're careful about this. And I'm going to talk about him. Because, well, look, let's talk about it.
Well, him. Careful, because that one statement, that careless statement, has inspired a lot of this work on the right. But he has tried to walk back that statement because it was just an off the top of his head, nonsense, knee-jerk
reaction.
Well,
he's not walking back much. Let's remind them about the Stop the Coup.
Not supporting him.
2025. And we'll be there for the town hall on December 17th at 2:30 at our LGBTQ community center.
This Sunday.
Working on a community response to what Republicans have promised to do if they retake the White House and the Congress in November. Now, Trump has said he will be a dictator on day one. He said that, you know, and some Republicans say, oh, that's just him trying to be funny. I fail to see.
Uh-huh.
Says he wants to terminate parts of the Constitution, pardon all the insurrectionists, cut funding to schools covering subjects he disapproves of, like us, legally erase trans people, investigate NBC and MSNBC, and impose the death penalty on those selling drugs, arrest urban homeless and put them in tent cities. And that's just for starts.
Well, and on the back of that, the Heritage Foundation, which is a very right-wing organization that's been in business for several decades, has put together this 800-page manifesto that is a plan for the next Republican president. And it involves getting rid of tens of thousands of civil servants in the government, just in spite of all civil service rules, just get rid of them and bring in right-wing, loyal to Trump workers who will be put in those jobs, whether they're allowed to be or not. They're just going to put them in by fiat. And all this list that you've just heard and much more, you know, using the army for law enforcement all over the United States, it really, truly turning it into a dictatorship. So there is this new organization that we're putting together called Stop the Coup 2025. And lots of other groups around this country are now alert to this, too. So there's this town hall Sunday, 2:30 to 4:30. You can attend in person or you can watch it online. There are going to be a couple of panels of expert speakers, including my favorite, Jeff Charlotte, who wrote the book, The Family, that is really a huge, beautiful expose of the right-wing religious political fascists.
Controlling Washington.
Yes. And so there'll be a lot of information and then time to talk about what we can start to do to stop this. So go to Stop the Coup, C-O-U-P, all one word, Stop the Coup 2025, because that's when the new administration would start, .org. And you can sign up to come on Sunday, or you can get the link there to watch online on Sunday at 2:30.
But to stop them, it's going to take an awful lot of voting on our parts. And stop being so picky about the candidates. Just stop them.
I have full confidence that a year from now, when people are going to the election booths, actually 11 months, let's get the date right, people will not be pulling the lever for Donald Trump.
A lot will. A lot did. More did, yes, in 2020 than did in, you know.
And more pulled the lever for, yes, Joe Biden.
Yes, they did. All right. Let's give them some good news. Transgender writer and academic Jennifer Finney Boylan will now lead PEN America, the free speech and expression group. She's also the national co-chair of GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. She says her job is to fight for free expression on the right and the left. And I think that's appropriate. She's written 18 books, including She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders.
She's a well-known opinion columnist for the New York Times. Her byline appears frequently there. She has been the vice president of the board of PEN, so this is not a new fight or organization for her, but congratulations to her and to PEN America for electing her president of the organization.
And in the little town of Northern Cambria in Pennsylvania at the library, it's a town of 4,000 people, the director, Justin Brown, we have a picture of him, kept noticing that the Out magazine, the gay magazine, kept getting removed from the magazine rack and back issues were missing too. So he confronted the library board and basically found out that, oh no, there was no vote on this. A couple of the members, three of them, just didn't like it. They just kept taking it out. And, you know, he ended up resigning over this because it was just so repressive.
They said it was inappropriate, that there was nudity. And he pulled out, you know, People magazine and Vogue and said, well, what about these? It's the same kind of stuff in there.
Yeah, but that's gay. This one's gay. No, it's true. I mean, exactly. It's like, you know, when people see, you know, a man and a woman kissing, okay, you've seen it a million times, 10 million times. When they see, you know, two people of the same gender kissing, people freak out sometimes.
Well, that's why a lot of our work for the last 30, 40 years has been about desensitizing people to those images.
Yes.
Well,
on this show, after I heard somebody complain about this in Harvey Fierstein's movie, well, you've heard this story, right?
A million times.
I'm just relevant.
We have new viewers all the time.
It's relevant to this. Yes. You know, so I made out with my partner for a while just to get people inured to it.
Well, if you want to get people desensitized to gay sex, watch Fellow Travelers. We'll get to more of that later.
Okay.
It was really explicit this week. Meanwhile, in San Luis Obispo in California at Cal Poly University, 100 people showed up to attend an anti-trans lecture that someone was giving. But 300 showed up outside at an impromptu drag show that that the progressive side held. Okay. Congratulations to them.
And wow, big deal for Brittany Griner. She is teaming up with Disney on three projects, an exclusive with Robin Roberts at GMA, a scripted series on ABC Signature, and a documentary feature from ESPN Films, executive produced by her wife, Cheryl Griner.
And she says what she wants to do is inspire hope around the world. And I'm just glad that Brittany, who suffered a little PTSD after coming out of that Russian prison.
I can't imagine.
Yikes.
Well, I imagine Navalny is dead by now.
He's missing at the moment.
By the way, the documentary on her is going to focus on her Russia experience.
You would think so, yes. Massachusetts, the attorney general there has charged a group called NSC 131, who are white nationalists, with civil rights violations for harassing LGBTQ plus people and migrants. They are evidently terrorists and neo-Nazis who have been on a campaign to shut down drag queen story hours around the state. This is what we showed you a lot this year of Proud Boys types showing up at these events in camo and with guns and just standing there and intimidating everyone who's present. And so now Massachusetts is going to charge one of these groups with civil rights violations for doing this.
In Illinois, a cisgender woman, Christine Chalmers, who placed third in an amateur cycling championship with there only about five contestants, is standing up for the two trans women who beat her. Dozens of cisgender competitors signed a letter supporting inclusion. Piers Morgan, of course, and Martina Navratilova, nevertheless, attacked the trans inclusion. This is all over an amateur race with five contestants. The International Body for Cycling has barred trans women who experience male puberty beyond the Tanner stage 2, whatever that is, or after age 12, whichever comes first. The amateur events are more inclusive. Kristen says, building community is more important than winning a medal.
That's a nice thought. But in Coconut Creek, Florida, this is a follow-up on a story we told you before, at Monarch High School, we told you that the Florida State High School Athletic Association was angry because at this school, a trans girl was allowed to play on the girls' volleyball team. And that is against the state high school athletics rules.
But we will not tolerate any school that violates the law, said the state education commissioner. We will not tolerate it.
So they are now imposing a $16,500 fine, $500 per game she played in. She played in 33 games. Good for her. Good for the school. 1 year ban on the school plane, on her plane, a suspension of the school from the State Athletic Association, and five administrators, including the principal and the student's mother, who is an administrator at the school, have either been reassigned or suspended.
And all school officials must undergo a compliance seminar. Re-education sounds like communist China.
It sounds like if she's already played in 33 games, probably there's
cared.
No problem.
Nobody cared. Yeah. You are just so mean down there.
But watch out for, I wonder if I should have looked this up. Lake County, Florida. Yeah. I don't know if it's in that county. But the Republican Party in Lake County, Florida, has put out a platform of what they want their candidates to run on. Abortion completely outlawed. No no-fault divorce, no gay marriage, bring back prayer to schools, no more income tax, no minimum wage, no gun laws, no voting rights laws, get rid of the UN and the World Health Organization. but pot is legal.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, exactly. That's quite a platform. Jeez.
All right. We had some...
Oh, but do you know what the gayest state in the U.S. is?
Vermont?
No. The state with the highest percentage of its population adults identifying as LGBTQ.
All right. I made my guess. What is it?
Kentucky.
No.
Yes, Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yet we're not, well, we do have Andy Beshear, the Democratic governor down there, who stands up for us, but we also have Mitch McConnell and who's that, Rand Paul as the senators.
It defies expectations, but it is the result of a survey, or a bunch of surveys,
right,
actually.
A bunch of transitions in the community, well, not transitions, but some new appointments. Tell us about, we have a new head of the LGBTQ Community Center in New York.
Yes, Glenda Testone, who's been there for a number of years, has retired. And Carla Smith, this is a picture of Carla, is the new CEO. Lesbian, person of color, was the deputy CEO at the Urban Resource Institute, which provides services for domestic violence shelters. She's worked at Housing Works. She's worked at the Anti-Violence Project. She will assume office in February.
And the Brooklyn Community Pride Center has a new executive director.
Kenrick Ross, a veteran nonprofit leader, Black gay man, an immigrant from Guyana.
All right.
And as long as we're in the Bronx, I'll throw in a bad story. A transphobic, homophobic man has been arrested 1 month after viciously stabbing a trans woman who interfered with his attack on another woman. He was attacking a woman. The trans woman attempted to intervene and save the woman who was being attacked. He viciously attacked and stabbed her very seriously. He has now been arrested and will be charged.
And then in St. Paul, Minnesota, Latina trans woman Savannah Ryan Williams, 38, was shot dead at point-blank range after she allegedly had consensual sex on November 29th. Left for dead for hours, the police discovered the body in a courtyard. 25-year-old Damarine Kalu Bible, his last name is, charged with second-degree murder. He called his father and said, while he felt sorry, he had to do it. Savannah has worked for Amazon since 2018 and was involved in Tea Time, a support group for trans women at the Aliveness Project.
She was both Cuban and Native American. She leaves a husband and just no reason for this at all. And we're sorry to hear about Billy Bean, only the second Major League Baseball player in history to come out after he stopped playing.
Well, he worked in Major League Baseball forever.
He still is. He is a diversity executive with Major League Baseball. But he announced that he has acute myeloid leukemia and needs a bone marrow transplant. If he came out in 1999 after leaving his playing days, if you are interested in exploring whether you might be a donor for Billy Bean, Google him and bone marrow donation, and you'll find all the details of how to explore doing that. We wish him well.
News?
Yes.
Russia, Russia, Russia. The largest streaming service there, it's called Kinopoisk, has given the children's cartoon series My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, an adult 18-plus rating to avoid running afoul of the laws prohibiting LGBTQ propaganda. The show's aimed at 4 to 7-year-olds. I don't know.
It does have a lesbian pony couple.
It does feature a tomboyish character named Rainbow Dash there on the right in the picture. They introduced a same-sex couple. I don't know if they're getting it on, Aunt Holiday and Auntie Lofty. The show also subverts gender stereotypes, shows female characters in positions of authority, and it's mostly aimed at young girls, but apparently has an adult male fan base called Bronies. The show got its start in the 1980s.
Is nothing sacred anymore? In Ireland, the oldest and what did we talk about? Cycling in Ireland? Some organization around trans issues. But now the oldest and largest competitive dance organization in Ireland has announced that it will allow young trans women to compete in their dance.
Well, the thing is, they have allowed it for a long time, but you know, and it now just people are picking up on it because a trans girl won her category in the southern region, and now some people are all up in arms. And one veteran transgender said, "It's not the Olympics; it's just dancing. We need to prioritize the children and their mental health, not parents and their political beliefs." It's, you know.
Well, you know, I think slowly but surely we're coming to our senses over this. So.
Well.
Too slowly.
As the world goes mad. Yeah. And good news from Poland. You know, we told you that centrists, all the majority of the parties that were centrist, won the election together. And Donald Tusk has, the former centrist prime minister, is back at the head of parliament after that long right-wing reign of terror from the
Horrible.
Truth and Justice Party.
Exactly.
Which is still entrenched in state media and the judiciary. But there is some hope for progress on LGBTQ issues. And Lech Walesa is very happy with the new leader.
And the European Union has informed Poland that they are out of compliance with EU rules by not legalizing same-sex marriage. So maybe this new administration can do something about
that. Well, they said they would, but we'll see if they can do it. AIDS news?
Yeah. Hart Island in New York, off the Bronx, has finally been opened to public access. It's a place where a lot of people with AIDS are buried, not because they were anonymous, which is most of who's buried at Hart Island, but because their families rejected them. They couldn't, or cemeteries rejected them, and they ended up at Hart Island. And there's been a hunger to be able to visit those graves on Hart Island, and now people can.
Okay. Dr. Gao Yao Ji, who defied the Chinese government pressure when she exposed a rural AIDS pandemic through reckless blood collection, she's died at the age of 95. She won a claim abroad, but the Chinese were very unhappy with what she was exposing, and they tried to silence her. So she spent the last 10 years of her life in New York. She didn't get involved with AIDS until she was 70. But, you know, she said, look, you have a man-made, that's her quote, a man-made catastrophe here. And those responsible were never held to account.
Man-made, not in the sense of the virus being man-made,
right,
but in terms of it being allowed to spread by bad practices and an unwillingness to acknowledge its existence.
I read her story. She was tortured as a young woman by the Maoist radicals, but she refused to buckle. She wants her ashes scattered in the Yalu.
We used to talk about her on this show when the government was going after her, when she was speaking out about those practices and trying to get them stopped, because we've been doing this show a long time. And we were doing it when she was very active on that. And she was a total heroine. She was amazing.
95 years old. So she was so old that as a child, her parents foot bound her, you know, which is a traditional practice. And she limped for the rest of her life. But so she survived an awful lot.
And lived a long life, for which we're grateful, and grateful for her courage.
Died right here in Manhattan. Okay.
All right. Entertainment news?
Yeah, well, Queen Latifah was one of the people at the Kennedy Center Honors. There she is in her rainbow. Everybody gets a rainbow thing there, a necklace. And CBS is going to broadcast that on December 27th at 9 p.m. Also being honored are Renee Fleming, Billy Crystal, Rita Moreno.
No.
What?
No.
Am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong. Billy Crystal and Renee Fleming and Dionne Warwick and Barry Gibb.
Oh,
Rita Moreno.
She must have talked about Rita Moreno in her remarks.
Or Rita Moreno is honoring someone, one of the honorees.
Sorry. Rita's probably.
I think Rita's been honored by the Kennedy Center.
Okay.
No, I think she is a recipient of the Kennedy Center honors.
Okay,
and then earlier year. That's
well, right. Tune in, find out who gets it. It's be exciting.
Well, we know who's been honored by Time Magazine as Breakthrough of the Year, and that is Alex Newell. This is not Person of the Year, which was Taylor Swift, but this is Breakthrough of the Year. Alex Newell, of course, we first met, I think, on Glee. Some people may have known her earlier, but she's done a lot. She is the first one of two non-binary people to win a Tony Award. I think they both won last year. She won for
She won the Tony.
She's amazingly talented.
For Shocked, yeah.
She is an incredible singer and actress, and I'm really glad to see her.
She's on the recent TV series Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Zoe's. I just saw her on that, yes.
Okay, and Emmy, and she's on an Emmy-nominated Christmas special, Our Kind of People. Anyway, also honored by GQ Australia, Man of the Year, Troye Sivan, the singer and performer. There he is. And he says, what does he say? He says he has a very complicated relationship with masculinity.
I think that's the understatement of the year. There is a new opera being made of the Danish Girl story.
Oh.
Yeah, it's being called Lily Elba, and it's about the first person to have trans surgery in the 1930s. It was the movie, The Danish Girl. And if you go to operavision.eu, you can see the opera.
Okay. Out actor Joe Locke, who was the star of Hot Stopper, about the young British gay couple in school, is coming to Broadway in February to join the replacement cast of Sweeney Todd, which is a good production, as Tobias, who's the young man who sings Nothing's Gonna Harm You. He's going to be there February 9th through May 5th, joining Sutton Foster as Mrs. Lovett and Aaron Tibbiot as Sweeney.
I am announcing a new category of stories on Gay USA. LGBTQ moments on game shows, initiated last week by Andy with a segment from the $100,000 pyramid. This week's entry is from Wheel of Fortune.
Oh.
Because it has such a homophobic host, Pat Sajak, who is really right wing and a Trump supporter. And
he had Marjorie Taylor Greene, had his picture taken with her.
Yes. Well, he had a contestant on the show this week named Ashley, who, when asked about her little story, said, referred to my wife of 21 years, our kids and grandchild.
Did he flinch?
No.
Well, he doesn't. They've had a lot of gay contestants over the years.
Yeah, well, yes, there are gay contestants on all these shows. But when she said my wife of 21 years, I just went, hip, hip, hooray.
That's great. We're everywhere. I stopped watching The Wheel after I saw the picture of him with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, you're so punitive.
Out Dan Levy of Schitt's Creek makes his directorial debut on Netflix January 5th and co-stars without Luke Evans, who I'm going to see in the theater in London, in something called Good Grief, when the Levy character, Mark's husband, Oliver, played by Evans, suddenly dies. His world shatters, sending him and his two best friends on a soul-searching trip to Paris that reveals hard truths each need to face. Levy says it's a rom-com. It co-stars Ruth Negga and Hamish Pater as the friends, and Celia Imre as his lawyer.
They're calling it a dramedy about death and grieving. So parts of it must be funny, but they're emphasizing uncomfortable honesty.
Right.
HBO on January 14th is bringing back the next episodes of True Detective Night Country with Jodie Foster starring. If you're looking for your newest Jodie Foster fix. And it has supernatural elements. I was never a True Detective fan.
Okay. Oh, I skipped over Fellow Travelers. We're keeping up with that series. It's almost over. They went to Fire Island 1978 this week, where Hawk is living in the pines away from his wife and kids. We won't give you any spoilers there, but...
A lot of sex. A lot of nudity, a lot of sex.
Yes, they're finally doing frontal nudity on there, but not for the big stars. Anyway, Skippy is now a a San Francisco social worker. That's Hawk. Sees him for the first time in 11 years. And when someone uses the word gay, he says, oh, Hawk prefers homosexual. He says, I prefer it because it's accurate. It means homo, for the Latin for man, which I am, and sexual, which I am as well. Well, homo doesn't mean man. It does mean man in Latin, but it's from the Greek, which means same. And then there's Marcus there, because they have a whole thing on the Dan White acquittal and the tumult in San Francisco over that. And that's a very good segment as well there.
I continue to find it a little superficial.
Wait a minute, what other thing I want to say? Well, all right, we'll just...
Well, their Fellow Travelers has been nominated for a couple of Golden Globe Awards. They're, gay stuff all over the Golden Globes, but I thought it was notable that Fellow Travelers in particular was nominated because a lot of other stuff wasn't. One nomination for the show, one for Matt Bomer, and the Golden Globes will be on CBS.
Whatever
this
the
time,
shortcomings,
January 7th.
Whatever the shortcomings, it is bringing a lot of our history to the fore. They even had a Cleve Jones character in San Francisco for a few seconds there.
A few seconds. That's the theme of the show, a few seconds. But I would be curious to know how many people are watching the show and who they are and what they think of it.
Let's find out. All right. I saw How to Dance in Ohio, based on a documentary about people in an autism support group putting on a dance. The show is distinguished by using young actors on the spectrum making their Broadway debuts. All of that is to be lauded, but the score is what I call Broadway generic.
I hate that.
Never a memorable song that you can think of. I mean, this is the way they all do it. Next to Normal. You could go on and on and on.
That's why I don't go anymore.
Still, the performers give their all, and they do achieve a moving ending at the Belasco there.
So did you see Cassandro?
I did, because we had a screening for my union, and Gail Garcia Bernal was there. And
that's exciting.
And yes, and I tried to tape him answering my question about how is Cassandro, which is about an exotica wrestler in Mexico, a very famous guy, how that affected homophobia and in Mexico, and how the movie is affecting that. And he talked about
la.
Very complicated, but it's very compelling. It's very touching. A movie, ultimately. I mean, he had a very hard life. A very poor guy who rose up from nothing to become one of the most famous wrestlers in the country.
I will insert parenthetically that I saw May December, which is now running on Netflix, I guess. I did not find that touching. I did not find it watchable. I did not find it, they talk about a gay subtext. No.
Well, it got a Golden Globe, I believe, for the young man who's
Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman both got nominated, but boy, did I find it hard to watch. Right. Others may disagree.
Okay. Before we go, a lot of books come over the transom here, and ones I just want, because you may be looking for something to read over the holidays, I just want to mention them because we never have them on as guests.
It's true. Some of them we asked.
Harvey Fierstein's memoir, I Was Better Last Night, which was quite wonderful and very readable. It's,
very.
And Christopher Burns' bio. He's my colleague at Gay City News. He does the theater reviews of Terrence McNally, covering all of his work, plays, TV, and movies. Gail Merrifield Papp's Public Private, My Life with Joe Papp and the Public Theater. They're the couple that pushed social consciousness into everything they produced. Also raising Joe's son, Tony, who died of AIDS in 1991. And I just saw her at Emmett Foster's memorial service at the Public.
I heard that was quite
moving. It was wonderful. You had lesbians reading Emmett Foster's sex recollections. It was hilarious. Anyway, you'd have to know Emmett to know that. And then, of course, Chris Cooper's memoir, Better Living Through Birding, not to be best. Okay.
Yes, we want to give you every opportunity to remember Chris Cooper's book and his ID TV show, which I suspect you can find on demand, and he'll be back here sooner or later.
And I finally saw Saltburn, again at a screening by Emerald Fennell, who did your favorite movie, Promising Young Woman. I know you hated it. I don't even remember it. You came back and I liked it and you hated it. But this is a very creepy satire starring Barry Keoghan there. You know, it's a satire on the English class system, but very violent and very creepy. It's got a bunch of Golden Globe nominations, including for Rosamund Pike, who is quite hilarious as the lady of the house. I say lady, you know, advisedly, because these are aristocrats. And anyway, they meet at Oxford. You know, he goes after the most beautiful guy in the world, Jacob Elordi, who was Elvis and Priscilla, and was in Euphoria. The director says it's about desire. Very homoerotic, but more style than substance.
I vaguely remember hating Promising Young Woman, but I can't remember who was in it or what it was about.
Yeah, wasn't it Carey Mulligan? Who makes a brief appearance in this, or a cameo.
I just saw her in something else, too.
Yeah.
It's going
away. Well, her
big
movie is Maestro now.
Oh, yeah. Someone just told me not to see that.
I saw it. I mean, it's an expensive art film. So it's not a straightforward biopic. There's a lot of good stuff in it. I don't think they do. I mean, they show the gay characters, the gay relationships that he had, but they don't give them the depth that they give with his wife. And of course, his wife is aware that Leonard was running off with women. They don't even
go with men.
That's right. He never went off with women. He was a gay man. He was not bisexual. I say this advisedly because that's what his friends said. He wasn't bisexual. He was a gay man who took a wife and did have three children who he loved.
Just
and
like
he loved
Hawk.
His wife.
Just like Hawk.
in
Fellow Travelers. Yes, I guess that's more realistic than I.
We must be running out of time here. Oh,
yeah.
God, we got a minute.
Less. So, Andy, you're going to London for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You're going to see some theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you'll even tell us about it while you're still over there.
Maybe.
And
Maren
Johns will be here for the next 2 weeks. Hi, Maren. Come on down. And we have the Stop the Coup 2025 Town Hall on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. in person or online. Take your pick.
At the New York Community Center, so you can watch it all over the country. We'll give you the link.
Yes.
Sign up for our email.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your support this year. You are tremendous out there.
And you write us the nicest notes, and that is really so heartwarming.
We're quite moved.
But we have to go. See you.